Big Orange fans, you played every snap. You showed your orange. But you're just getting started, because it's time for the best post-game fan show in college football. It's time for the Garza Law Firm 5th Quarter Fan Reaction. The place where the Big Orange Universe from all around the world gathers to talk about today's game. Unfiltered. Uncensored. And unapologetic. And did we mention commercial free? A show of you, by you, and yep, for you.
Yes! Yes!
The most unique fan experience in sports.
I would call Butch Jones football.
And it happens right now.
I would call Butch Jones football mystifying, but that would be a...
Get online at 865-254-02. That's 865-200-5402.
I don't want to rip mystifying.
Or you can hit us up on Twitter at Tony Basilio.
All right, enough of the intro. Let's get to this. 865-200-5402. That's right. I cut my own intro off. I stepped on my own story. Tennessee defeats UMass 17-13, and Butch Jones a moment ago just complimented his team on their resilience. He didn't use resiliency. So he's learning on the job. He's finally learned 4 years later that resiliency is not a word. And that, ladies and gentlemen, that's progress. I can't even believe what I just saw. I mean, it was a win, and a win's a win, and I'm not going to be one of these people that's going to get on here and bitch after a... Well, actually, I am. What in the hell was that today? What was that? What did I just see? What did you just see? What did we just see? What did we just see? Al's going to have some numbers for us, some scores as well. The great Alex Myers. And the numbers and the nuggets from this game are... I don't even know if you can tell the story. Let's get Bino in here without further ado, who's joined us from parts unknown. Bino, the Vols survive a scare. Thank God that quarterback got hurt. Elliott Berry knocked that kid out. Or this could have been ugly, ugly, ugly city, huh?
Yeah, Tony, there's no question about it. I mean, it was a UMass team that was missing one of their big weapons in their tight end, Benefield, who's a really nice player. And then they lose their quarterback. I think Tennessee's defense played pretty well today, but it's hard to tell against a team like UMass. But there's no question what we saw today was just an absolute sleepwalking team that was still dazed by what happened last weekend. And they're very fortunate to barely escape one of the most embarrassing losses in Tennessee football history. It'd go right down there with losses to UTC and Rutgers and North Texas State.
And it could have equally been as devastating a day for those guys should that have come to pass. And I wasn't around here in 75 for the North Texas game. We did a Volscar on that I haven't released yet, but Bino, needless to say, in the 75 year, that was a year when Tennessee's regime was unraveling. And I'm not so sure today. I'm not so sure today. Tennessee had 58 yards of total offense in the second half in their building. 58 yards of total offense, and they survive to win. I'm not so sure today. This would not have been Butch Jones's Waterloo. In fact, you joked yesterday about a Bob Uecker line. Share it with us, because I think this could have happened today if they would have lost this game.
Well, I had in my blog, Tony, that if Tennessee lost this game today, that the security would intercept Butch Jones at the locker room door with the message that authorized personnel only are allowed inside. And whereas North Texas State, the fake punt against Georgia and the North Texas State loss were the beginning of the end for Bill Battle, I really believe that Butch Jones would have lost his job tomorrow had we have lost this game today.
Unreal. Unreal that Tennessee hangs on for the victory, and just a crazy result all the way around. Just absolutely crazy. As the Vols do win the game 17-13. Bino, was I imagining things, or that kick that they called good in the third quarter, that thing did not look good to me, that Tennessee kick, aside from everything else that went on in that game?
Well, Tony, they never replayed it on television, but live, I didn't think there was any way it was good. It looked like it was 3 feet wide. I texted my buddies who were at the game, and I said, was that kick good? And their only reply was, amazing. So I don't think they thought that it was good either, unless they thought that I was just stunned that we had actually made a field goal.
Garantano enters the game right after that juncture when Tennessee fails to score a touchdown, obviously in need of a lift. And he didn't provide one at all. He didn't move the bar at all.
No, he didn't, Tony. And it was a peculiar move. Obviously, that was nothing that was scripted. There's no way that was scripted. They made a decision to put Garantano in the ball game. My thought process is that they thought that Dormady was ineffective. Strange place to put Garantano in there, and he's quite obviously not ready.
Wow. And what I thought was, when they went away from your quarterback, you got to bring Dormady back in there at the end. Now, they got away with it because they played a team that didn't have a quarterback. If they would have had a real team in front of them and he was fooling around with the quarterbacks, I mean, this guy just has no feel for what he's doing. Most coaches know, okay, I sent my signal. I better get my quarterback back in there. And he waited one series too long to do that. And at that point, you're in no man's land. I mean, this poor guy just cannot manage football games in the moment. He just can't. Let's go to the phones. I want to thank my friends at your Garza Law Firm for providing your Garza Law fifth quarter fan reaction. It has been a really long but great day in my world with our tailgate that we did today with our friends at Amachi, Big Brothers, Big Sisters, and all those folks. It was just a really awesome, incredible, amazing day. In the meantime, let's go to our phones, and we'll get our first call in. 865-200-5402 is my number. Butch Jones was proud of his kids, he said, for coming through this game. I don't know if Tennessee fans feel the same, but let's get our first call in. Hello and welcome.
Hey, Tone, this is Eric.
Hey, E, welcome in, man.
I am back in the Eastern time zone, back over here on the Eastern coast instead of the left coast. I think I was on hold from about the first quarter on because I knew this game was just going to go badly for us. Hey, wait a minute. Before I go to that, tell me a little more about the Amachi stuff, because I was real excited about that all week long. It looked like you guys were going to have a really great deal going on with those kids.
We had a good, couple hundred kids,
today. My gosh.
Several of them seeing their first ever Tennessee football game. It was just a fantastic time. It was just good for the soul. Bunch of listeners came by. Bunch of all fans came by. People came by to bring their tickets. Met people from all over the place. And, man, I needed that today. It was great stuff. It really was. It's what this is all about. I know that's a cliche.
That's
but
right.
It truly is what this is about.
That's right. And that's, I mean, before I jump off the diving board here, I just want to bring that up because that is what it's all about for us as a Tennessee family. But literally from the first quarter on, I knew we were going to be in trouble. I think I knew we were going to be in trouble when Tennessee, I think they went 3-and-out on their first series and punted it to UMass. And then, UMass has got it inside their 10-yard line. And I said, I told Lunchbox Luke here, I said, if they convert a first down here, we're in trouble. And that's what it was, the entire game, just letting them hang around. The team looked like they were sleepwalking, either that or the coaches have lost them. You know, the play calling was suspect. You had JG come in there, Guacamole comes in there, and he gets to run the exact same offense that Quentin Dormady has been running. Well, you know, he's got legs to run, and this offense only works with a running quarterback, so – why in the world would you not let him run? I guess because you want to protect that backup quarterback. I see this team being lucky to win three more games Really, I do. It's just terrible.
And that was, that was some bad football today. That was some really bad football today. Yeah, and here's the thing. Look, Georgia might go out tonight, suffer some injuries, and get all beat up in their game. And that could happen, right?
Yeah.
But and so you don't know. It's a week-to-week deal. Maybe Tennessee had a terrible hangover. Maybe that loss was just as hard on those kids as it was on us last week, because it was a devastating loss to our fan base, and maybe it was a devastating loss to those kids.
Yeah, it was. It was. I mean, I was noticing one other thing, though. UT didn't, you know, Tennessee did not cross midfield until the second quarter, and it took a reverse with a little 5-yard gain. It was all we got out of that reverse. That's what it took to cross midfield for the first time in the game. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. It's not a dumpster fire yet, but maybe a trash can fire, maybe a Team 121 trash can fire. That trash can's got to be looking to run away, Tony. It has to be, to change its identity or something. It's got to be embarrassed to be a trash can on our sideline.
Eric, thank
you.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Tony.
Thank you, buddy.
Take care.
Bino, any thoughts on Eric's point? And then we'll go back to our phones.
Well, fortunately, Tony, like you said, the results don't matter week to week. It just doesn't seem to relate. It's just not a game that relates week to week. But one of the things that he brought up is our inability to block them very effectively up front, and if that does go week to week, so you wonder where our offense is coming from against SEC fronts.
We've got a score update in a game of interest here, ladies and gentlemen.
In the battle of the hot seats, Texas A&M just kicked a field goal with 4 seconds left to tie it up. Arkansas and Texas A&M now 43 apiece, looking like that one will go into overtime.
A game literally you couldn't pay me to watch. Back to our phones we go. 865-200-5402. Bino the Great is here. How about those Arkansas uniforms they're wearing? Arkansas pulling out the Ohio State uniform look. That would make me feel real good as an Arkansas fan.
Actually, I like them better than their usually. I don't like changed uniforms, but I like these better than what they regularly wear if they did not look so much like Ohio State.
I mean, who stops them and says, hey, we look like Ohio State today. Can we do something about these? Let's go to the phones. 865-200-5402. What we do is get your calls in here on a day where Tennessee doesn't even get close to 100 yards in the second half, in a game that can only be described as embarrassing, I would think. But they get out with a win against UMass, a team that's now winless on the year and got popped by several opponents. But Tennessee took them right to the wire today. Tennessee has metal, though. They prove they have metal. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Tony, don't tweet what you say.
Hey, man, welcome in.
Is Butch, does he take the worst timeouts ever other than Rick Barnes? Who doesn't take them? Have you ever seen anybody take timeouts at worse times than Butch?
His timing's not real great. Today he saved them an illegal procedure penalty.
Off guard or something like that, yeah.
They're scrambling, Bino. He takes a timeout.
We take a timeout to make sure we've got everything set up for a UMass team that you could walk off the field and they couldn't go 85 yards. But we're going to scramble around out there against Florida.
I don't get it. Like, he took one, wasn't it towards the end of the game, too? They're kind of scrambling to figure out what's going on, trying to set up something for a last play. And he's taking the time out for him. He's like, hold on, I'll stop it for you. I've never seen it. Why did he bring Jared in when he brought him in?
That was so weird. And then he left him in, and you're sitting there watching that, and you're going, I mean, me and Alex are sitting here in a studio, and Alex looks at me, and he goes, he's not ready. He's not ready.
I don't even know why you would bring him in at that point. I think it was because he told him. He probably said, hey, no matter what, you're getting in, and you're getting this many series. they could have been down 10 and or down, you know, 3 or 4, and he probably still would have put them in. I have no idea. I just, Tony, how many were in the stadium? Somebody call it. 70,000, if that?
They announced 90 some odd thousand.
Wow.
Showed a wide shot at the end, and I asked Tony, he was in the other room for a second. I said, Tony, is there 60,000? I mean, there was almost no one in the upper deck, and the lower deck wasn't exactly full either.
Now, guys, I wasn't there, but I texted my buddies who were early, and they claimed there was a pretty good crowd there, but I think they overestimated. They told me there was close to 90. The shot I saw was in the second half, and I can guarantee you at least half of whatever was there was gone by that time, easily.
Yep. Because
there weren't 30 in there at game end, I don't believe.
Yeah, I was talking to T's on his way over here right now. Tony, where are you? Join the party, Tony. Anyway, he's bringing John Bruin with him today. We're going to have a special treat for folks. He's going to be in studio with us. And I got to tell you that I think a bunch of people just got up and left. I mean, it was a hot day, and you knew Tennessee was going to win. There's no chance they were going to lose that game. And so, you know, I understand. It's really warm outside. I mean, I don't know what it's like where you are. Anybody listen to us around the world, it's unseasonably 80. Warm right here today. It's unseasonably warm.
Upper mid-80s, yeah. I think that I'd be curious to see what happens next week. I'd say that to you now. Because I think apathy set in. I think people are just sick of it. And I just think I know Georgia's a rivalry game, and you figure – but I would bet you there'd be more Georgia fans in that stadium, way more than normal. And if it gets bad enough and they start walking away from us, like I think they probably will. I saw a play where our right tackle was pushed all the way back.
Feel how UMass was shoving us around. And Butch Jones, for everything he's preached, and he is 5 years into his deal, his team is soft, man. Jonathan Kongbo was getting mauled today at the point of attack by one double-A offensive lineman. Mauled. I'm talking about mauled. Mauled.
Yeah, I think it's time for us to remove the T, guys, and our motto just be duh.
How many can Kongbo have all his black stripes put back on? Just give him a black helmet then?
Maybe he
How about putting one on Butch?
Thank you.
When's he going to get his removed?
Thank you, Tweety. Let's go back to our phones. We'll get as many people in here as humanly possible. 865-200-5402. That was some – I'm telling you right now, that was a – that almost happened. That almost happened. But, you know, I'm going to believe that if UMass's quarterback doesn't get hurt, we're in big trouble in that football game. I'm going to believe that. Now, I don't know.
Well, there's reason to believe that, Tony. They had the ball twice on the plus side after he was hurt. And certainly their backup had no chance. I do believe our defense played pretty well today, but it's just hard to judge because I believe UMass was averaging like 88 yards. I know they throw the ball around usually, but they were only rushing like 88 yards a game, so that's something that you didn't even have to worry about. But you know, before the game, Butch, I was listening to the pregame, and Butch says, probably not going to get any sacks today because of the three-step drop. And I think, what the heck are you talking about, Coach? The guy's been sacked 23 times by four teams I've never heard of.
865-200-5402. And that's the thing about Butch, man. That's what I was talking about earlier in the week, the way he just – I don't know what he does. But it's the opposite of positive thinking.
Now, Tony, as far as what Tweet was saying about next week, I'll be surprised if it's not jam-packed against Georgia because I think most people believe that's Butch's last opportunity to prove to them that this season holds something for him.
Plus,
I think that now, by the end of the game, that may not be the case, but I think when the game starts, it'll be a Neyland Stadium full of full-throated people.
We We've got a final, ladies and gentlemen, out of the Atlantic Coast Conference. Beano, I think it's going to be Fulham next week because it's the Georgia game, because it's a great Southern college football rivalry. And I think it's too early to start all this nonsense people have already started about the job and this and that. Now, all kidding aside, he loses today. He was getting fired. That was going to happen. But the rest of this, it's just way too early to start. Can we just enjoy the football season before we start worrying about the soup? I mean, enjoy it, I guess, as much as we can enjoy it and as much as it's pretty damn unwatchable. But go ahead, Al, you were saying.
Yeah, Florida State just got knocked off by NC State. NC State got a lot of high praise preseason. They moved to 3-1. Florida State falls to 0-2. And Beano, I don't know, you've been to so many UT football games. I told Tony as the fourth quarter round down, before I knew we were going to win, it was still in question. I said, to me, this has a Wyoming 08 feel to it. Because, as Tony said, if we lose that game, that's probably the last time you see Butch in orange and white.
Yeah, and, of course, the difference being Alex was Fulmer was fired the weekend before, which had basically sucked the life out of his players and the program, whereas this one, you know, you've still got a coach out there who's employed. And, Tony, I know exactly what you're saying. But we can't pretend that the machine hasn't started on this guy. You've been around here long enough to know it has. He's on the clock.
Go to the phones, 865-200-5402. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Tony.
Yes, welcome in.
Hey, man, this is Sal from South Carolina. How you
hey,
doing,
Sal over in beautiful South Carolina. Welcome in, man.
I appreciate all you did for those kids. I know they like that.
Whoa, it was a long day, brother. It was a great, it was a great day. Thank you for saying that.
Well, I was questioning my sanity. My family and all, they're all Clemson people. They all went over to the game. I got invited to sit in a box, and I sat home and watched that trash. Unbelievable. Tony, you know what Butch said after the game on the interview? He started talking about grit and resiliency or resolve or something to that effect. Is this guy just... I mean, is this guy just out in left field? He doesn't get it, does he?
I don't know. I wonder sometimes with Butch if he even pays attention. And then he pays too much attention, and I don't know.
I really believe that he's a guy that is just never, ever going to say anything bad about his football team. It doesn't matter what happens out there. He's just not going to.
Unless it's to deflect on him, like he said this week, where Dormady checked out of that play that he was getting all kinds of pressure.
And that usually happens on Monday in a question and answer.
Mm. Guys, if he'd have lost this game, is he employed tomorrow?
No, he would have been fired this afternoon. I'm being 1,000% serious. I've been here 25 years.
Yeah, I think that's a Jack Crow game.
Yeah, he would have gotten fired before breakfast tomorrow.
I mean, can we be honest? They should. UMass would have won that game if that quarterback stayed in it, don't you think?
Yes, I said that earlier. I think that if you look at the way the game played out, you look at the way our offense played, you look at the way we could not run the ball against them, we couldn't run the ball at the point of attack, we couldn't run over them. Yes, I think what you're saying is accurate.
I think I saw the look on his face when he's been interviewed after the game. He's a guy that knows he's in trouble. He knows he looks to me like he knows the team ain't listening to him and the fans are tired of hearing his horse manure.
It's, I think people are getting a little tired of his rhetoric. He's not helping himself, man. He's just not. Now, a big win next week against Georgia. See, that's why I think a lot of this is premature. Today could have been very damaging for him, but a win next week and this stuff's all forgotten. I don't know if it's all forgotten, but he could really help himself next week.
What do you think our offensive line is going to be able to do against Georgia's defensive line, considering we couldn't beat a junior college team at the line of scrimmage?
We're going to get mauled.
I mean, he's going to have to pull out every trick in the book to win that game.
Actually, he's going to have to really manage that game well, and Georgia's going to have to play down to Tennessee and put the ball on the carpet a couple times, which they could. But if things go according to the way they should go, which is their defense right now is world-class, again, they've got to play tonight. But if things go according to the way they should go, that could be a maul job.
Well, We better hope Mississippi State beats them up some tonight.
No question. That's the only hope, because we got beat up in that game today. We got Wolf beat up. We had several guys beat up, and we'll have an update on those folks here in a little bit.
Didn't you expect John Kelly to be out of the game at the end of the first quarter, right? We'd be up three touchdowns.
Well, yeah, and I thought for sure that John Kelly would be able – we would be able to run them over. I mean, that's shocking to me that you can't just run them over. But as some people are saying on Periscope, Bino, and this is true, when you have a vertical passing game that is not vertical, they're going to dare you. And that's what they did. They loaded the box today, and they got physical with Tennessee. The University of Massachusetts got physical with Tennessee today. That's the damnedest thing I've ever seen.
I've never seen anything like it. The Minutemen. Came into Neyland and whipped our boys' asses at the line of scrimmage.
No question. So, I appreciate you. Thank you, brother.
All right. Thank you, Tony, for all you do, bud.
Thank you. 865-200-5402. Garza Law, fifth quarter fan reaction. Bino, anything on that call before we go back to the phones?
No, the only thing I'll say, Tony, is the only way that today really matters is if for some reason that was more about kind of losing your team than it is a hangover. And I'm not saying that's what it is. I'm saying that's the only way today really matters.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of like that Indiana State game in a way, but we've had two of these now that are just
–
what's the word, Bino, I'm looking for?
A ho-hum is just the sleepwalking are the only things that I can that I can say.
Tony Henning said, if you think we have a chance at Georgia, pass me what you're smoking. Tony, college football is a week-to-week game, and Georgia is not great. I'm sorry. I'm not going to kiss their ass. They're not great. They're not. Back to the phones we go. 865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. And here's the thing about Butch Jones. Nothing's ever boring with this guy in his tenure. I mean, these games are all, they're all, whatever the term is, they're all always in play. Alex has a couple of quick scoreboard update for us here. And today's scoreboard update, ladies and gentlemen, it is presented by our friends at Citizens National Bank, where you'll earn 1.75% on a free checking account with CMB. Visit cmbtn.com for details. Alex.
Yeah, not a ton of action. Most games starting a little bit later on in the afternoon. Texas A&M and Arkansas, that ball game just went final. The Aggies victorious over Arkansas, 50-43 the final score, as Arkansas unable to get a touchdown in overtime. A couple other scores, Texas Tech on top of Houston, 27-17. New Mexico over Tulsa, 13-10. But, Tony, that Arkansas game, I'm actually glad Arkansas won as a Tennessee fan, because my worry is if Arkansas were to lose and Kevin Sumlin gets fired two or three games down the road, Butch makes it through the end of the season, and then you fire him, Arkansas has got a six-week head start on contacting coaches. And I know it's still a little early talking
we're
about firing.
This. Oh,
I know,
gosh,
but if he loses, but if Butch Jones, if they lost that game, as you said,
and Butch
was fired, the one positive thing is you can get a head start. But obviously we were able to get the victory, thank goodness. But Texas A&M.
Arkansas lost, Chief. Read that score again.
50-43.
A&M. So Arkansas lost the game, right?
And now Bielema is his seat's probably the hottest in the SEC right now.
He's sitting on he's walking on coals. Let's go to the phones. It's wild. Are we gonna sit around Al and talk about this coaching stuff? God, I think we are.
I don't really know how you can ignore it at this point.
Back to the phones we go, 865-200-5402. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome. That is you, yes. Hello, welcome in.
Hey, me?
Welcome in, hello.
Dear to us again. He has no imagination about offense. His defense linemen, they weak. I mean, I don't see the tackles, the defensive tackles pressuring the, you know, making no kind of push. Everything is left up on the defensive end. And then you come back to the offense. I mean, our offensive line is not pushing. I mean, we got a great running back. We got three good running backs, and you only put one in the backfield. I'll say it again, like I said last year, this man do not know how to manage games, and he do not know how to use his talent. He don't. I mean, he's a guy with blinders on. It goes this way, and this is the only way it's going to go. He don't know how to change.
Hey, guys, how many tackles for loss did UMass have in today's game, Elgin? I'm going to give you a number. It's a number between, let's say, 5 and 15. How many tackles for loss did UMass, I said UMass, have in that game today?
Probably about 4, maybe 3.
Bino, how many times did they get us behind the line of scrimmage? It's great offense, this unfoulable.
I'm going to say that they had 8 tackles for loss.
They had 12 TFLs today.
Holy Toledo.
You talk about getting blown up at the line of scrimmage.
I mean, and this is you, man.
That's what I'm saying. Imagine what Georgia. But here's the thing, guys. The kids know the name on the jerseys, and they see the name on the jerseys. But imagine what UMass could have done. I mean, what Georgia would have done to Tennessee today with that level of output.
They would have chewed them up and spit them out.
Yes.
And I'll say one thing. If you're going to use Garantano, why not start him in this game? Let him play to see what he can do. You put him in for 2 or 3 plays and bring him off the bench when he's cold. I mean, just the guy that's quarterbacking is not doing it. So why not try something else in a game that don't really matter that much, which was today?
So what do we do? So yeah, but they fooled around and almost lost the game. See, I think when they should have gone to him was in the first half.
Exactly.
But you don't go to him in the second half with the game on the line and the things getting tighter and tighter and tighter, and I just didn't.
That's why they should have started him.
Bino, what do you think? What are we going to do with this quarterback situation now, Bino?
Well, I think he's created quarterback controversy now, although Garantano didn't play very well today. So, by the way that you used him today, you may have created a little bit of a quarterback controversy. I'm tend more to agree with you, Tony. I think they should have used him in the first half, and then he would have been a little bit more prepared to come in there in the second half if that's when you want to use him. But either way you look at it, it was pretty peculiar use of your quarterbacks.
Guys, here's a number for you. Alex, listen to this one, Elgin. Go ahead, Al.
First down total yards for the ball game: UMass, 226, Tennessee, 77.
They had 226 yards on first down. How many plays they run?
They ran 27 plays. So they had 226 to our 77 yards. And, Tony, they ran 2 less first down plays than we ran.
We had 29 first down plays, Elgin, and got 77 yards today. Bob Shoup's defense on 27 first down plays, Elgin, gave up an average of 8.4 yards. How did we win that game? Would somebody please explain that to me? Wow.
Hey, I'll say again, Bob Shoup defense is hockey. It's pitiful. I'm befuddled, man. You bring Shoup in. I mean, he's supposed to be this genius. I don't see it.
Nice. He's pretty bad. Thank you, my friend. And as Eric just said, I don't want to start this. Never mind. Let's go back to the phones. 865-200-5402. A&M survives today, 50-43. Played some arena football, and they survive. Bino, this coaching talk crap's going to start, isn't it? It just is.
Yeah, Tony, it is. You've been around long enough. You can hear it running, Tony. We didn't start the machine, but it started on Butch Jones. We just can't ignore that it's going on. I believe this Georgia game is a huge, huge game for him.
865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. It's annoying. I know that. Because what it does is it clouds the day, the week-to-week experience. And granted, today was not fun. I mean, Al's going to go through these numbers here momentarily. You wait till you hear some of these numbers in this game. And Tennessee got out with a win. I mean, it's mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling to let a team like that come into your building and run you over like that. Because that is what happened.
I will agree with this, Tony, and I said the same thing at Indiana State I'm going to say about today. You cannot make any judgments against Indiana State or against UMass one way or the other.
But you should be able to put a hat on a hat and
no
run those
question.
Teams over. That's the deal.
No question. What you can say is that if you can't block them very well, you're really, really going to have trouble blocking Georgia. And although our defense played pretty well today, you do have to take the opponent in mind. And Georgia is going to be the first team we've played all year that Tennessee's going to have to worry about them both throwing and running the football.
865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. When you hear some of these numbers, though, I mean, that first down stat, you talk about a sadistic. Because I'm not a numbers guy. I think there's sadistics. I call statistics sadistics a lot of times. This thing here is, let's go back to the phones, 865-200-5402. Go ahead, Al.
Yeah, Rocky Top Insider. Tweeting the following out. Jones is quoted as saying, "We needed to get win number three, and we got win number three, but that was flat out unacceptable." That's from Jones.
How about that, Beanstar? My man's learning.
Yeah.
What? Are you not feeling it?
I mean, what else is he going to say? I mean, I agree. That's what he should have said. I'm glad that's what he said.
We'll have some more stuff for him. 865-200-5402. We'll go back to the phones. Go ahead. He said something else.
Talked about getting back to work to try and correct the mistakes from today. Quote, "It all starts," or quote, "It starts first and foremost with me."
He means it. He's so transparent. And then from there, Bino, the backtracking will begin. All the way to Reasons Why on Monday.
Let's put it in context. When you're having to, when you utter the words out of your mouth, "It starts with me," after a UMass game, there's something that's not right there.
His last quote, Al, share it with us.
"I want to thank the fans for staying until the end. I thought they made a difference." Is that just laced with sarcasm? I mean, you saw the shots at the end, and I've heard from you now, Bino, what you've heard from your friends and several others online and in text, that the crowd wasn't awful to start, but immediately as the game started, it seemed like it dwindled.
Is this guy kidding? This guy's got to be kidding. Let's go back to our phones. My number is 800. My number is 800. My number is 865-200-5402. Bino, could that mean that I'm a little tired when I start forgetting my number?
No, not really, Tony.
Just like any other day in my life.
I'm sure you're tired, Tony. The one thing that I haven't said yet is it doesn't matter what happened in that football game. What you all did today with Machi Knoxville is just beautiful. That's a fantastic thing. I'm sure those kids had a big time. I wished I were still young enough and not so jaded that I could enjoy a football game regardless of the outcome, but I can't anymore.
865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. Our next call up here on your Garza Law Fifth Quarter Fan Reaction. Hello and welcome.
Hello, this is Eric from Hendersonville.
Hey, E, welcome in, man. Thanks for being there.
Yeah, hey.
you know, good job with the event for the kids today. I hope, you know, they're not wrapped up in the problems that we're talking about, you know, today. They, hopefully they had a nice, enjoyable time out there, and thanks for doing that.
You know, I'm just simply a guy, like I said on Twitter, people were thanking me. The deal is that I'm just a guy, and without y'all, there's no way we could have pulled that off today. So thank you for being a part of this.
All right. So my thoughts on the game, I definitely saw the capacity crowd, quoting Gorilla Monsoon, and talking about the WWF days. Yeah, it wasn't exactly full at the end. And that's really going to be telling. If the fans vote with their feet by staying home, eventually the people that write the checks are going to take note of this, and they may have to do something whether they want to or not. There's going to be a lot of company in the coaching carousel this year. I'm not saying we should, but you know, going backwards and basically scraping by against UMass, Georgia Tech, we could very easily be 0-4 at this point, or at least 1-4. The Georgia game, stranger things have happened. We've been able to put stuff behind us and play a great game, play
yep.
somebody off their feet.
Yep.
But, I'm not seeing it. We've got Missouri. We've got Southern Miss up. I would like to think we're going to win those. But really, I think Jones's fate is going to come down to what we do against the second tier teams. You got South Carolina, Kentucky, and Vanderbilt. Jones has proven he's capable of losing any of those teams, quite frankly. And if you open the, close the chapter on this season and he sees that we are fourth or fifth place in our own division 5 years into this, someone's going to say we can do better. But I looked at and see the injuries are taking their toll. I don't know if this had anything to do with anything, but at the end of the game, they had both Wolf brothers and Johnson basically taken out of the game. We're now down to Pope as our tight end of choice. And Jones is going to have to either put a jumbo package with an extra lineman, or he's going to have to do more two-back alignments or something to kind of balance out these defenses. I looked and saw some of the plays as they were unfolding, and what they were doing routinely was towards the end of the play clock, they would creep up, and they would blitz incessantly off the weak side, knowing that they could overload us. And if they were able to get a stalemate on the front side of the defensive line, there was going to be somebody unblocked. And unlike the last few games, Kelly wasn't able to make something out of nothing. If somebody was on him right off the bat, he wasn't able to spin out of it and get a 10-yard play when there was nothing to be had. Basically, though, Jones has to make a decision. Either he changes his offense to suit Dormandy, or he has to put Garantano in to use this run-pass option. The problem is he's playing so terribly in the limited action. Maybe have a goal line package with him if that's what it takes. But, you know, it was just a situation where they were sitting on the short routes, they were crowding the line, and we weren't able to give him time to throw the ball deep. I don't know, it was just a terrible offensive game plan. Executed terribly, and winning is the important thing. But I'm not optimistic on what's happening out there.
No, you know, and we're knowledgeable, right? We're knowledgeable and we're passionate. And you watch that game today. How in the world are you going to feel good about your football team? I mean, if I'm a UMass fan, I feel pretty good about my football team. We were 0-4, went in there and competed in Neyland Stadium against a Southeastern Conference team, and we're a team that got blown out a couple weeks ago by the Chanticleers of Coastal Carolina. I mean, you look at what they've done. Temple put it on them last week. I mean, they're a wretched, bad, thin, bad football team that was flying around today, that beat us up, that injured us, that beat on us in our own building. Let's just call it what it was. And your point is well taken. What kind of a game plan was that? Where was John Kelly? Why didn't you just take your guys and just pound them early like you should have done? And I'll say something else, too. This quarterback situation, you got one guy in Garantano who wants a pout. He's not ready to play. But I'm glad he knows how to pout because he can't play yet. He just can't. Tony Robinson was exactly right about him. And then you've got a guy in Dormady who doesn't believe in himself. And here's the difference. When Garantano played in that game today, he took a shot on a ball that was dropped on a slant route that Brandon Johnson should have had. And I don't know if you saw this, but he stepped up in the pocket and threw that ball and took a helmet right under his shoulder pads. Go ahead.
That was a great throw.
A great throw.
I mean, quite frankly, we had a bad snap that didn't help them one series.
That's no question.
We obviously had a drop.
Right.
Dormady throws several times.
He throws off his back foot. Right.
There were several times today, again against whatever team he's playing, where he could have faked the ball to Kelly and run and gotten 5, 6, 8 yards. And if you do not do it at all, this is going to happen. You're going to see teams tee on Kelly. They're going to overload, and you will not be able to make them pay. Quite frankly, Dobbs was, in some cases, the best and worst thing that happened to Jones. Because there was a lot of times last year where he just simply rolled out and did his looked like Conrad Calloway out there, just making a miracle out there, scrambling, getting a touchdown, and making him look good, putting points on the board. But it was a busted play, you know?
Eric, that's an absolute beautiful comparison, because Josh Dobbs did for Butch Jones' offense. He had a whole bunch of problems, just like Condridge did for Bill Battle when things were falling apart.
Yeah, and I mean, Jones has got this offense where he had Dan LeFever set a bunch of records playing against teams that can't play up in the Midwest. You know, but if this is the SEC, or in this case, playing an independent, a minor independent in UMass, and he can't exactly move the ball on them. I'm sorry, these guys watch film. I do not see our offense getting better. I see our offense probably playing at this level for a while.
865-200-5402. Thanks, Eric. That's a really interesting phone call. Now joining the fray, a couple of former Vol greats. The great Tony Robinson is with us in studio. T-Rob, what'd you think of what you saw today, man?
I feel we're struggling with, and that's not good. That's not a good sign at all, man. And I don't know. It just looked like the guys aren't having any fun out there. You know, it just seems like they were just going through the motions.
It's a good way of putting it. Another former Vol great is in studio with us, the great John Bruin. Bow your head when you say his name. John, how you doing, man?
Great, great.
John, what'd you make of today, man?
I think they decided to sleep in late. I don't think they ever woke up. Yeah,
you know,
yep. The noon game. So maybe they've been ready about 3:30. I don't know.
You know, it's an interesting point you bring up, because you can't fool the kids. The kids know the competition level of what they are seeing, right?
Yeah.
Those kids today, our kids today, are lucky to get out of there with a win, because they did not take that thing seriously. There's no way they took that seriously.
No, they definitely was. It was a blessing to get out of there with a win today.
I tell you, it was scary. It was real scary. It was scary, man. Cause, you know, they were on our running game, and we weren't sharp at all.
What did you guys make of? And then we'll go back to the phones. And these guys are here. And if you want to chime in, and I got T Rob and also John Bruin with me, along with Alan Studio. What did you guys make of the whole quarterback thing? Tony, I'll start with you. Do you feel like that was the right decision to do that?
Well, I'm trying to figure out what happened. You know, did Dormady get hurt or somebody just
Garantano
in?
He did not get hurt.
Well, I mean, it's good to give him give him some reps. I think he should get some reps, but
it doesn't show a lot of confidence in your first team quarterback, though, when you pull him.
Absolutely. You're in a dogfight.
Yeah. Well, see, I left during halftime. I left at halftime. I didn't know. I left at halftime, man. I left at halftime, and, you know,
yeah,
I'm
you
like,
and about 40,000 others, Tony.
Oh, yeah. Everybody was leaving when I was leaving, too, you know. So, well, let me get
Butch
out
Jones
here.
Thanks you for your support, though, by the way. He said you were the difference in the fourth quarter.
I was? That's great. That's great. I'm glad, because somebody had to be the difference, man, because we're not. It's like the guys are not having any fun out there. And
isn't that interesting, Bino? He'd bring that point up, the body language. That's what we used to hear during the Derek Dooley days. Look at the body language of our kids.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Bino.
And see, Rob and John, it's an honor to be on here with you. Thanks for see, Rob, thanks for weekly. And John, it's great to have you in here. I told Tony, and you guys have been in the locker room, and none of the rest of us have. I told Tony it's one thing if today was just a hangover from last week, which is entirely possible, and knowing that UMass had little to none. Can you all look at them in any way and say whether you think that's happening or whether you don't?
Well, it's like I said before. It just looks like we are not on, everybody's not on the same page. You know, we got some here on page one. We got some on page 10, some on page 50. And, you know, this is not looking good at all. Something's got to be done. You know, there's a lot of work to be done over there because coming up next week, we got some dog fights. We're going to be some fights here coming up. And
the problem, Tony, is next week, his team's not going to have any mercy on you.
Oh, no. Oh,
that's
no.
That's the deal here. And yeah, you're playing a team that defensive line-wise.
Oh, yeah. Phew. Oh, yeah. I mean, looking at UMass today, they were just destroying our line.
Ow!
They were just, I mean, they were getting penetration on our line. I'm like, what's going on here? John Kelly was getting hit in the backfield, you know, and
he fought for his 100 yards.
Oh, yeah. He earned those. He earned every bit of it, man.
John, explain to me how we're supposed to be that much more physically superior to a team that hadn't won a game and it's gotten shoved around by some people.
Yeah.
And today they were physically aggressive with us.
Right. I saw maybe two or three plays that the sprint draw worked pretty good.
Yeah.
They got about 10 yards out of it. But other than that, on short, all the handoff plays were getting just smashed in there. It was like they were creating
too much penetration.
Yeah. How bad do you as a lineman hate that delay draw thing they run? That's the dumbest looking damn thing. It's stupid.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna call it stupid. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Let your kids succeed.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, a championship team should come out and play where they play the first half, okay? They get a big score up, and the second teams get to come in.
That's
play.
Exactly right.
And I think that's what they should have done today, but maybe for some reason that we're not aware of, they got their heads another place or something. I don't know.
Because they did not look like a focused team. But, Tony, to your point, they just don't look like they're having a good time either.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. You know, I was looking forward to them coming out on fire. Let's get this thing over with early.
Me too.
So we can rest and put the other guys in and let them, you know, get some reps and everything. But that wasn't the case. That was not the case. Now, why he pulled Dormini, I don't know. I guess to give Garantano some playing time.
Yeah.
And, you see for yourself.
Now, you like Dormady.
I like
you
Dormady.
Liked him in the summer.
Yeah.
He's different in games, though, right?
Yeah.
What's he doing, Tom?
He's throwing foot, and you can't control your passes that way. You know, to me, when you're doing that, it's you don't want to get hit. You know what I mean? It's when I was my high school coach, I tell you what he done to me. Because I didn't want to get hit either.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And he made me stand there and take licks. He said, look, you're quarterback, you're going to take some licks. So get used to it. You know what I mean? But you'll learn how to take a lick, mm-hmm. for one thing. And, that's what he done to me. And after that, it was, okay, I'm good. I don't want to take no more of those licks. So I know, playing quarterback is, if you're going to play quarterback, believe one thing, you're going to take some shots. And you just got to be prepared for it. You know, that's what it's all about, team.
Yeah, and let's go back to our phones. Bino, anything else you want to add before we go back to the phones here?
I do want to apologize, Tony. I spent all last year saying that Josh Dobbs did not have a quarterback coach, that Nick Sheridan was in over his head. I need to apologize to him because I don't believe there's any way Canales is as good a quarterback coach as he is.
Early on, the returns aren't good. Al, what you have for us in terms of quotes or leaderboard or anything else?
Well, former Vol Albert Hainsworth, we all know he's been a little feisty over the last couple weeks on Twitter with a number of things. He says, I think it's time for UT leaders to have a come-to-Jesus meeting with Butch. #chains is a must. Hashtag VFL. A couple quotes from Butch Jones on the podium moments ago. He said that they were, quote, looking for a spark with the quarterback change there late in the ballgame. Coach Jones also says that Deshaun Roberts and Shy Tuttle missed with undisclosed injury, but injuries, but he does fully anticipate their return. Butch Jones on UMass, they were better than their record shows. Well, they're 0-5 now, so certainly, you know, nothing tremendous from the podium today. Real quick, if I could, guys, you guys are former players, and everybody's a freshman and a sophomore at some point. Butch Jones has talked about the lack of experience on this team throughout the year, whether it's talking about only 27 players have gone to Florida, talk about the lack of experience. Well, this is why you can't get guys with experiences, because you can't put teams away early that you should, because these guys should be getting in-game experience the whole second half of the game. Am I wrong?
Oh, you did right. You're dead right. This type of game, that's what it's for, to get those younger guys some experience, some playing time. And when you can't put teams away that you're supposed to put away in the first half, then you got a problem. And then, you know, your younger guys that don't have experience don't get a chance to, you know, some game time experience, you know, because practice is nothing like game. You know, it's much faster. And for some reason, man, we got to turn this thing around. Tennessee's got to turn it around and start playing some faster ball, you know, and look a lot more sharper than we've been looking.
Wow.
I remember Coach Majors coming down and saying, you know, we got to play these guys again next year, you know, put the second team in, but just take a knee or whatever. Just don't run it up on much more than we already did against Kentucky.
Yeah.
Spend, you know, and so we
got. Those are the good old days.
Yeah, it was the good old days, but we all give all we had.
You can't
ever play.
Yeah, see, one thing about it, you can't overlook these kind of teams, you know, a lot of teams do, but some will overlook them. But then, good
Tony,
teams.
They were winless.
I know, but I'm saying when you come to Neyland Stadium, you know, UMass brought everybody, because these guys, you know, they play in front of about 6,000 people.
Tell him what their record is now.
0-5.
And to me, it doesn't matter.
But it doesn't matter what the record is.
You shouldn't overlook them. No, but even if you overlook them, you should still beat the team by 50 points.
Yeah. And I'm saying, you take them out early. That way, you know, there's no chance of them coming back.
Exactly.
And that's what Tennessee is not doing. Understand? We're struggling with teams that are less superior than we are. You know, so it's a big problem, man. And they need to solve this thing, because now we're going to get into the meat. We're going to get down to the nitty gritty and
the meat of the matter right here, buddy.
Oh yeah, man. This is the,
this thing here. Huh? This Georgia team, buddy, they're going to mean business, because the way we beat them last year, they are going to.
They're
going to
be
mean,
get back.
I'm talking about. What'd you call it, Tony?
Some get back. It was some get back, man. You know, they want some get back, and if you remember 2 years ago, this is where Nick Chubb's got hurt at. First
That's
play
right.
of the game.
That's right.
So. He's gonna be coming out on fire.
He wants
some get back. He's gonna be on fire.
God, I love that term. You teach me more terms.
Yeah,
we're sitting here in the studio.
That was my term for Auburn when we played them at my senior year. I had to get some get back for my junior year.
Can I use that term, get back, and have a Chris Berman quote for you?
I think you're a little white, but go ahead. Give me a Chris Berman quote.
Well, this has to do with Tony talking about get back and also talking about what UMass did to our offensive line today. This is via Chris Berman moments ago.
No, none of that. Let's go back to our phones.
My man, that's right, superstar.
Let's go back to our phones, get our next call in. 861.
I wish I could get back to watching Tony and John. I know that.
Goal!
All right, Vito, my man. Hey. Oh, yeah,
Beanstar.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But yeah, we don't, guys, we don't play football. Well, I don't want to sound like old people here, because that is what we could do. But I just don't understand why they make it so hard in the modern game on themselves.
Man.
I just don't understand it. Why? Why does it have to be so hard, guys?
I don't know. I mean, you know what? When we were playing, we teams like that, you know, sometimes you're not clicking, but you want to take them out early so you can have a relaxed time in that locker room when Coach Majors comes in there and starts talking, especially on Monday. But if you didn't play well on Saturday, boy, it's not going to be nice.
Yeah.
It's not going to be nice. But if you play well and do what you're supposed to do, everybody do their job, then, you know, practice will be a little bit easier and a whole lot.